Penguin Random House Audio presents Wonder Women, 25 innovators, inventors, and trailblazers who changed history by Sam Meggs. Read for you by Jodel Furland. Introduction. We can do it. Representation is important. Media critics use this phrase all the time. We say it to drive home the point that everyone, no matter their gender, sexuality, race, ability, or any part of their identity, deserves to see characters like them on the page and on screen. Why? Because when media is full of diverse heroes, every gal will unconsciously learn that she too can be the star of the story. That hero status isn't reserved for people who look like Superman. That she's not stuck as a damsel in distress. If she wants to foil the enemy or save the day or rescue herself, she can. But something we often forget is that representation matters everywhere, not just in fiction, but also in our everyday IRL lives. The bummer is that although we're making significant strides in the media, the same cannot yet be said for the office or the classroom. Lack of representation is why, when I ask you to think of a scientist, the first person who comes to mind is a white-jacketed, messy-haired man. It's why women's historical impact is traditionally explored in an optional course called Women's Studies, whereas compulsory classes on the historical impact of men are simply called history. It's why only 30% of employees at Google are women, only 22% of game developers are women, only 5% of U.S. patents include a woman's name. In this kind of social climate, it's easy to grow up thinking that women don't get involved in tech or science or medicine or engineering, because who among us really ever has? Of course, awesome, accomplished, successful women have existed since humans started painting on stones with their extremities. Yet somehow, we never seem to hear about these noteworthy heroines. Did you know that 80% of all codebreakers during World War II were female? You wouldn't know it from Hollywood, considering that Keira Knightley was the only lady in The Imitation Game. How about that the paper bag your takeout comes in was invented by a woman? Or the process that made the shirt on your back possible? Or the first computer program, or wireless tech, or nuclear fission? What about all the pioneering women around the globe who, despite a dearth of access to education, money, tools, or, you know, freedom, busted their butts and their brains in the face of great odds to become the first lady doctors, mountaineers, super spies, or field biologists? What about Anandi Bai Joshi, who crossed an ocean alone to help advance women's health in her native India? Or Jacqueline Felice de Almagna, a medieval doctor dragged to court for daring to be better than her male colleagues? The more I researched for this book, the more I knew these women's stories had to be told for the good of all humans everywhere. History is full of lady engineers and spies and scientists, but history is also written by the victorious, and it may not surprise you that thus far, the overwhelming winners have been straight white dudes. That hasn't worked out so well for everyone else. The good news is that we can fix this problem, tipping the scales to be a bit better balanced. It's time to stop accepting women's role in history as limited to keeping a great home, though admittedly a harder job than it looks, and birthing the dudes we learn about in art history or religion or biology class. It's time to shake off the bogus fear that pursuing any interest that falls outside the traditionally feminine, say working in a STEM field, exploring the world, designing a video game, will make us complete pariahs. It's time for women to take our place in a long line of brilliant, patriarchy-smashing, butt-kicking chicks. First, though, we have to get the stories of these women out into the world, because representation matters, and we ladies need real inspiration for the next time we find ourselves doubting our ability to invent something, the next time we fear learning how to code, the next time we feel like we just don't belong. So join me on a journey into the history of bad-as-heck babes. Just keep in mind that these are only some of the amazing women in the history of our world. Many more are out there, and many more are to come. In fact, you know what? You're next. Chapter 1. Women of Science. Did you know that a woman named Rosalind Franklin was instrumental in the discovery of DNA instead of only those two guys you read about in your chem text? Or that in 1974, the Nobel Prize in Physics was awarded to Jocelyn Bell Burnell's male supervisor after she discovered pulsars? It's true. The world has been and continues to be filled with radical lady astronomers, biologists, physicists, programmers, and more. And we are way overdue to bask in their greatness. So let's right some of history's wrongs by delving into the fascinating lives of the most sensational and crucial women in science, technology, engineering, and math, aka STEM, for the uninitiated. Consider yourself initiated. Wang Zhenyi, 1768-1797. Chinese astronomer, mathematician, and poet. It's made to believe women are same as men. Are you not convinced daughters can also be heroic? During the late 1700s, women in China were expected to do what women just about everywhere at that time were expected to do. Sew, cook, have babies, and perhaps sew a little more for good measure. Writing politically charged texts was out of the question, especially since any Chinese person, woman or man, risked severe punishment for criticizing the emperor. A woman who managed to publish social tracts in such a repressive climate would have to not give a dang, which Wang Zhenyi definitely didn't. Paying no regard to the danger that she could be chopped to bits for her pursuits, or that she would have been deemed unmarriageable, the horror, she published her opinions anyway and became one of the best-known scientists and poets of her time. Zhenyi, Wang was her family name, was born into feudal China during the height of the Qing Dynasty, 1644 to 1911-12. China's last imperial rulership. At the time, the country was dealing with not only an unsustainable population boom, but also the devastating Sino-Burmese War, wherein China was trying to take over Burma. The Qinlong Emperor, as the dynasty's fourth ruler was known, was all about preserving Confucian culture, which prized humanistic values like compassion and loyalty, putting a high value on acting ethically and morally in everyday life. And so he built up the imperial collection, which included art, historical documents, and rare books. But like most people with absolute power, the emperor took things a little too far, sliding easily from literary appreciation to literary persecution if he didn't like what you were laying down, art-wise. Book burning, beheadings, slowly slicing writers and artists into pieces until they died painfully, the usual. Zhenyi was well off, a situation that helps just about everyone in every era, but the Wang family was in decline. Her grandfather was a former governor, and the family home near present-day Nanjing, in eastern China, housed his epic library of over 75 bookshelves, Hogwarts-sized for the Qing dynasty. Growing up, Zhenyi took it upon herself to read her way through her grandfather's entire collection, and somehow she also managed to find time to study equestrian arts and archery with the wife of a Mongolian general, because apparently being a self-taught genius at math and science just wasn't enough. Zhenyi knew she was awesome, too. In one of her well-regarded poems, she writes that her ambition was to a kind even stronger than a man's, and that she was often reluctant to ride a horse with makeup. Totally understandable, since eyeliner back then was probably not smudge-proof. After an impressive childhood of self-education, a teenaged Zhenyi traveled extensively with her father throughout China, witnessing firsthand many of the problems from which the country was suffering. The population had grown so quickly that there weren't enough resources to go around, and so impoverished and hungry people began fighting over scarce farmland, while the rich remained indifferent and unaffected. Agonized by the plight of her country's version of the 99%, Zhenyi expressed her feelings in a series of poems about injustice, since Twitter had yet to be invented. These poems weren't written in the kind of dainty, flowery language common
Sample complete. Ready to continue?